For all your Disney Vacation Club needs, be it buying, selling, or renting points for your next vacation, check out our sponsor over at dvcshop.com. Now on with the show.
Clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de la puerta.
We welcome you aboard our highway to guide.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the automatic doors. They will be closing in a moment. Thank you.
To this week's episode of the Monorail Tales podcast. My co-hosts for this episode are Rick and Steve. So how are you guys doing tonight?
I'm Rick. I'm good.
Steve, how are you doing?
Peachy.
You got to come up with another word. Peachy. You have to come up with another word than peachy, because everyone now knows it's you.
That's fine.
Pip, cheerio. Sheila's been rubbing off on me.
Have a cup of tea with that, love.
No. Would you like a cup of tea?
Oh, God. Oh, that's even better than me.
Oh, he just turned into Mrs. Bucket.
Okay. So anyway, guys, tonight we don't have a special guest joining us, because tonight we have a special fellow podcaster and very close friend, Chris Malik from the Dub D Dub Review podcast. Now, later on in the show, Chris will be sharing some exciting news about a very special upcoming event that is taking place in June by the Dubs, and you won't want to miss this. But first, I think we should really introduce Chris to the show.
Sheila, I'm still trying to get the West Virginia / British accent out of my head right now.
Because, yeah, no joke.
Oh my gosh. What are you doing to us? So anyways, thank you guys. I appreciate you inviting me on. Thank you.
Thanks for being here. I know you're busy. You're in a, shall we say, in another state?
Well, I actually just got back last night. So, But like all of us, yeah, life is incredibly busy this time of year. If it's not one thing, it's another. We know the story. If it's work, if it's family, if it's podcasting, if it's putting on a fundraiser, everybody's got their hands in, you know, in the cookie jar. But, you know, honestly, it's keeping busy that makes life interesting. I'd be complaining if I didn't have as much to do on my plate. That's for sure.
Oh, I know.
And that's the sort of thing that we will discuss first. Just, you know, why you do what you do. And then hopefully we'll get to hear a little bit about your Disney side. So, oh, and then most important, hear about your special event that you have coming up in June.
Cool.
But Chris, first of all, what made you start as a podcast? Duh.
So why do I publicly annoy people for the last several years? And yeah, exactly. So this is the truth story of why we did podcasting. So my co-host and I, his name is Peter Ponocorvo, and we also share the podcast with Stacey Nyman and Michael Black. When Peter and I, we hadn't even podcast one episode, but we were listeners of the Resort Loop podcast. And I found out that Pete and I lived relatively close to each other, or specifically, he lived close to my work. So we started talking, we started hanging out, and we had this idea. There wasn't as many podcasts as there are now. There seems to be, everybody's has a Disney podcast. But we thought we could put a unique spin on it. We could put a Chicago spin on it. We could put a positive spin on it. And frankly, we had heard a lot of podcasts, and we thought, you know, I think we could be just as good as they are. and we have kind of a bizarre sense of humor. So let's try and bring that to people. And we literally, guys, we knew nothing about podcasting. We didn't have the first idea of what record meant. We didn't have the software. We didn't have the equipment. We didn't have knowledge of how to promote it, how to edit it. We knew nothing, but we thought we could do it. And we've heard other podcasts. We thought, well, if they're on the air and people are listening to them, we think we could be just as good as they can be. So it all started with like almost like a personal challenge. Could we actually put something on the air that people would listen to? And that's truthfully how it began.
Yeah. So it was just you and Pete that started it at first then?
Well, at the time, we had a third co-host, and her name was Laura Fitzpatrick. And Laura was also a Chicago person. So the three of us kind of got together. And Facebook was popular in the Disney community. It always was, but it wasn't quite to the extent it is now. So the three of us living in relatively close proximity to each other kind of made a friendship, and we started talking off the air, thinking about what our talking points would be. And I remember we made a first appearance together as three people, and we attended the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. And there was it was an Imagineer speaking engagement, and it had Dex Tanksley, Alfredo Alaya, and the headliner was Marty Sklar. Yeah, so they all did some improvisation, and they talked about their background, what brought them to the Disney company and the Imagineering. And that was the first time all three of us actually appeared together. Digital handheld recorder, and was trying to get sound bits as they were speaking. And we ran into a few people who actually, for the first time, like introduced themselves. We put a post out, and this is like our first Facebook post, right, as a podcast. Hey, we're here. Come seek us out. And we had like three downloads at this point. Like no one knew who we were.
Right.
And, you know, little did we know, standing behind us, there was a woman who was happened to be paying attention to Facebook that day and caught the post, came up and introduced herself. And that was Amy Van Swole. Amy and Tim were there that day. And from that point forward, we've been like almost inseparable. We've been attached to the hip from that point forward. But yeah, it's a lot of cool memories, a lot of great memories of even beginning. Guys, I remember sitting in my basement. I had a house in Chicago, and I was playing Disney music that I had on a CD, just seeing if I could get it to play and edit through like this editing software. And I remember calling Pete at like 11:30 at night, being like, oh my gosh, we just did it. I know how to bring music into the podcast. Like I was this genius podcaster, and like, I didn't know squat. That's like 2% of what I needed to know. But from that moment, I was like, we could do this. I feel so positive about it. So yeah, that's the history of it.
What year was that when you first started then?
Well, it's not like we've been around forever.
1911?
Yeah, exactly. Since like Abraham Lincoln. No. It's in 2015. So we started in December of 2015. And our first, like I would say, if you were going back to look at our previous our old like stuff, like you may want to skip the first 50 episodes.
I understand. Yes.
Our learning curve.
Isn't episode 3 pure gold though?
Oh, well, there's a lot of good stuff in the early episodes, but there's a lot of cringy moments as well that we won't even go back and listen to. So.
Well, just a moment, Chris, because I do have to intervene here. Rick, you have a story about episode, what was it?
3.
I think it's 3. I mean, somebody had this great idea about a car dealership.
Oh, Rick, God bless you. You are a zero.
I'm glad you said bless you. Exactly.
Sheila and Steve, I will tell you guys that I think I've had more genius ideas that should have been picked up by Disney. Unfortunately, I'm the only one, and no one else thinks my ideas are gold. So I don't know what that tells you about it. But yeah, we've had a bunch of different shows. That's the one thing we rarely lack for is our show. We usually have some pretty creative ideas. I don't want to say original, because I genuinely feel that a lot of the shows people put out, they've been done before. You know, you got your ranking shows, you got your draft shows, you got your discussions, your new shows, and it's been done before. But that doesn't make the show. It's the chemistry. It's the fun. It's how willing you are to give yourself to the show and really have fun with it that makes what the content, you know, worth listening to. But yes, Rick, that was my crowning achievement. Sheila and Steve, my idea was...
You peaked early.
Ouch. It's been downhill for 297. The idea was we had to come up with some kind of like branding moment. And I thought what we can do is take part of that Disney Car Care Center located outside the Magic Kingdom And Disney could brand an auto dealership where they would have Disney branded vehicles. Like you'd have like a Chevy dealership that would have like the color scheme somehow of like a Donald Duck, like even if it was like light blue and white and yellow onto like, who knows, like a Malibu or a GM vehicle. And it would be like, you know, like you have like the Eddie Bauer, like Ford.
Right.
So you would have like the Mickey Mouse version of like the Camaro or something along those lines. And
like,
I thought,
like Chevrolet bounding Disney, right? Bounding.
Right. But I thought, how far along the line is that? We already have Test Track, right? They already have a dealership or a car arrangement with GM. Yeah. How would you consider going and buying like the Mickey Mouse version of the Corvette? I don't know, maybe you would, because I've seen a lot of people buy a lot of crazy things in vacation, like Disney Vacation Club. So you just might be interested in looking at the, you know, that Chevrolet Volt. It's got the Donald Duck host. You never know. But anyways, I was the only person that thought that was a good idea. Tamara Spidell also thought it was a good idea, but that was it.
So basically then, Chris, what you're saying is that someone in Disney heard this episode number 3 back in 2015 and thought they'd sit on the idea and then came out with the mini cars.
Mini vans.
Yeah.
Oh, don't think I didn't claim victory, at least in a small part on that day. And then, of course, we saw like Star Wars. Nissan has a Star Wars like arrangement, and they came out with a few models of Star Wars. Now, I'm not claiming that because Star Wars is a completely different beast, but I certainly took a picture when I saw that one and I sent it out there. But yeah, no, we've had a bunch of really fun ideas. And again, you know what? It's the whole idea of a podcast, and I'm not sure of your motivation, is we just wanted an hour or two a week where we can hang out in a good, fun environment. We're not trying to cause any trouble for anybody. We just wanted to be able to talk about something that we're passionate about, something that brings us joy. And you know, this is the secret of podcasting. It's a really bad paying job, like really bad paying job. If you got to really just want to have fun with your buddies on the air, because if you think it's a job or if it feels like a job, oh, it's going to get old really quickly. And
oh yeah.
You've heard shows where you know the host is either jaded or, you know, the sarcasm overflows. You got to want to have fun and just relax and just let it come off, the top of your mouth, you know.
Yeah. On that note, I know you mentioned Resort Loop with Bob and...
And Tim, yeah.
And Tim. And Bob's moved on now.
Mm-hmm.
But is there any other ones that kind of inspired you? Ooh, I don't know, when did you start listening to podcasts? Because I know I started in 2003.
Well, this actually even social media was a relatively new thing for me. So right. I had a Twitter account a long time ago, and my Twitter account is at Disney Chicago. Real creative, you know, like I took my hometown at Disney and threw them together. But I didn't have a Facebook account until like 2014. I'm not sure why that was. And eventually they the Resort Loop roundtable, the DVC roundtable, convinced me, get yourself a Facebook account. We have to talk about these things. So I opened up my Facebook account. And so, yeah, social media itself was a challenge for me. I begrudgingly like gave myself over to social media at that point. But that's a great question. When I started off with the podcast, Resort Loop was really like my gateway Disney podcast. I just enjoyed the sound of their voice and I enjoyed their storytelling. They had a way that I felt connected to them. And I grabbed on show 4. I remember listening to show 4. I found Lou pretty quickly at WDW Radio.
Right.
So he was on the list. I grabbed the Be Our Guest podcast as well. Mm-hmm. But Mike's the hardest worker in podcasting with 3 shows per week.
Gosh.
Right. I don't know how the man does it, but it was hard for me to keep up. Like I like looking back at my podcast catcher and seeing a new show every so often. Like I literally was like losing shows because I was like, wait, I'm not done with that one. There's a new show. Wait, I'm not done with that one. Yeah. So the Be Our Guest podcast, he's the most tireless worker around to put out 3 per week. Jim Hill. I love Len Tessa and Jim Hill. They had they have good deep dives. Wedway Radio, when the brothers were together, have a great history deep dive podcast there.
And then there's now it's.
You know what? I'm going to be a bad listener. I haven't listened for quite some time. And
That's all right. Because
the reason why is because honestly, I have a Disney podcast, so a lot of
yeah, exactly.
Right. That's the first rule of like Disney podcasting is that you're so focused on trying to stay like original or have like original content and ideas. And you're so focused on paying attention to Disney news. The way you relax is like you rarely listen to Disney pod. I listen to true crime podcasts and stuff in my free time just because I want like that clarity of my mind there. So, Steve, I run a golf course in Chicagoland. I actually run two of them. So a lot of people go on vacation and they play golf on vacation. I've never played one hole of golf on vacation with my wife in 20 plus years of marriage, because when I go on vacation, I want to stay as far from golf courses as possible, you know, and Disney podcasting is very similar to that.
Oh yeah. No, I can understand that. Mm-hmm. Except for the fact that anytime we're on vacation, it's like, oh, we need this for the podcast. Oh, content. Well,
I know that story as well too. What shows were influential for you guys? What shows did you guys listen to?
I think one of my very first ones was Inside the Magic with Ricky Bergani.
Okay.
And then definitely Lou. And still, I mean, I love Lou, but, you know, with podcasts, even though you still enjoy them, you kind of move on to other things. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I've done. And considering that there's probably, 200 at least? Different podcasts out there. Mm-hmm. I've kind of shifted more over to the history side, which, like you said, you mentioned Wedway, which now they do. Oh, I cannot remember it.
I want to say it's a 3029, but that's probably
3028, 29.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Which is fantastic. They do a great job. I've met those two great brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the big ones. And there's a lot of other ones that I follow, of course. You know, I enjoy listening to the Diz.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's always a good thing to get a little bit of info. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. Because I listen 8 hours a day. I'm like, Rick, how about you?
I missed the memo about not listening to Disney podcast because I still listen to him all the time.
Okay.
Well,
you're a glutton for punishment, Rick Forbes.
I know. Yeah.
Right?
Yes. I started listening to podcasts in 2016 when we started planning our first trip in years. And one of the ones that influenced me was the Dubs. In particular, I remember one specific episode, and it was when Laura was talking about insurance for her cruise.
Okay.
And, you know, that one just sticks out at me because it was such a, if I remember correctly, she didn't have cruise trip insurance on a cruise and didn't get to go or something. I mean, it was a long time ago, but that one, I really enjoy Lou Mangiello's show when they do the food reviews.
Okay.
I love listening to shows about food.
I gotta be full.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sheila, how about you? What shows were influential to you?
Rick.
Monorail Tales was one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I listened to that one from episode one because I haven't always been with them.
No, but when you joined us, oh my gosh, did our lives ever change? Let's just leave it as that. No, honestly, Chris, I think before Monorail Tales, I don't think I listened to podcasts. Yeah. I was involved in many different ways. Okay. Like I can't remember the year, but they had all the podcasters had a meet.
2008.
Mouse meets, and all the podcasters of the day was there, so I got to know them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where maybe my love came from. And then we did some work for Sorcerer Radio where mm-hmm. Steve and I would do segments, you know, 10-minute segments. But I don't know, even to this day, you know, I just don't have time to listen to podcasts, if I'm honest.
No, she's too busy doing
ours. Yes.
Well, you know what? that keeps it fresh though for you. And then every good idea you have, you can actually attribute and say that was an original idea, even if you might have vaguely heard from it somewhere, which is exactly how you should do it, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Awesome.
Which is funny because she'll come up, oh my gosh, I just thought about this. This is great. I'm like, yeah, well, so-and-so did this last 3 years. And she's like, ah. I'm like, no. I mean, and you said it earlier, there's no original ideas anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you can expand or expound on things, but
I think in the early days, Chris, like Steve said, I would, you know, oh my gosh, Steve, we've got to do this. And he would, you know, put me back down by saying, nah, it's been done 100 times. But one thing I've learned over, I mean, we're coming up to our 4th anniversary. One thing I've learned is, okay, the others might have done it, but they haven't done it the monorail tails way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the difference. You can still have the same subject, but you have your own little spin on it.
So I'll expand on that. You know, you're 100% right. And I'll explain why. Once you meet your connection and you find out who your listening audience is, and it might be 3 people, 300 or 3,000 or 30,000 people. Once you have your listening audience, somehow they've grown a connection to you, to your voice, to the facts, or, you know, non-truth that you speak, and somehow they've grabbed on. So we actually have, a little separate podcast that we do, Rick's Aware, and we do some interviews with just members of the community in this show. And it does deal with Disney, but it deals with like just the person behind Disney. And Rick would verify, those are some of our most interesting shows, is just learning about the people behind. I have more fun doing an hour long interview with Rick Forbes, Sheila and Steve. I had to interview Rick Forbes. And so I contacted him in like October. Was it October, Rickster? When did we talk? Or it was like November? Whatever it was unseasonably like hot.
Right.
Yeah. Rick recorded from like a 95 degree taco truck with me sweating bullets in this truck to get this interview. But you know, I love that he would do that for me. And like, he would like have the recording for me like that. So, once you meet your tribe, it's just the connection you have. And I'm that way about a lot of shows. You could talk about politics. Let's not talk about politics, but you could talk about politics, animals, race cars, the weather, airplanes, you know, business, stocks. But I want to listen. I want to hear because I just enjoy the connection. So that's at least what I've kind of picked up on it.
Yeah.
I think Sheila would love listening to those interview shows because she loves interviews and learning about people.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
So she just needs to join the Patreon group so she can listen to him.
I didn't want to say that. That's why I was trying to purposely evade that. I was purposely being a face.
You join ours, Chris, and we'll join yours.
There you go.
Yeah, actually, we get 2 for 1 on this end.
Yeah.
There you go.
We'll get to learn all about our Rick.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go from there. Chris, what's your kind of favorite episodes that you really enjoy doing the most?
I can tell you this much. Here's what I don't like. I don't like Disney news podcasts because I always feel like when you record the episode on like a Thursday or a Friday for a Monday release, I can't tell you how many times I've been sneak bit to have that news go out of style. But we could do a complete show on now Disney now allowing masks. You know, by Monday, they're going to say, oh, you know, Disney's not going to allow masks. And, you know, it no matter when you do it, it always seems to time itself out. And I'm always on the losing side of that. So news stories for us are just bad news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bob Iger is retiring.
Exactly.
Yes, he is. Oh, now he's not.
hey, did you see the guy's newest release? Yeah. And it's like 3 weeks later. There's like... What? Yeah. That's outdated.
So. You see, we do the news, but it's far and far between, and it's usually, it's Rick and Michelle. They would record on the Wednesday, and that show goes out Thursday, Friday. It's a quick turnaround. Mm-hmm. To do a whole focus episode on the news, forget it. That's
raw,
that's not my
and
style.
Unedited.
There you go. My favorite kind of shows just involve some wacky harebrained scheme. Like I'll send a direct message to my crew and say, hey, all right, I got this idea. Let's say you're at Disney and you've got like the worst belly possible and yeah, you've got to use the bathroom and like, like you've got to have, or like, hey, I got an idea. Let's say, give me like five scenarios that would cause you like the biggest anxiety. And we're talking like dropping your cell phone in the bottom of like the Seven Seas Lagoon and like losing a child. So like something that like would require just like some crazy idea. And it starts with like a little spark and like, you know, like in Figment's like terminology. And then it just like explodes and there's like 15 text strings and good. That's a good show. Let's do that one. So anything that requires, I don't want to use the word outside the box, but anything that requires a little bit of like questionable thinking, that's the show I want to do. That is my kind of show.
And there's a lot
There's a lot. Exactly. We also do a 3-word show where I'll give you like a subject or an idea and you got to describe it in 3 words. Those are always fun because putting people on the spot usually comes up with some pretty kooky answers. Everyone does a draft show, but we like doing draft shows as well too. Those are interesting. And people love, I can tell you this from downloads, people love trip reports. I like hearing stories of people, but like the trip report shows, which are always like some of our most popular shows, it always makes me chuckle when I see people like living vacations vicariously through other trip reports.
Yeah.
And that's then
how
resorts
I got started.
Is it really, Rick?
Podcast. Well, I did that trip report on your all show when we went camping.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
The first time I was on a podcast.
Was that really your first time?
Mm-hmm.
You have to go track it one back, Steve. I'll send it to you.
I thought he was a virgin when he joined us.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, we hired a virgin. That's what you get for thinking.
We got broken goods.
See that? And then, you know, you guys, other shows like that involve like resorts or the DVC resorts, those are always really good too. Like something tangible that you can give to people. Not necessarily news, like, oh, what is Animal Kingdom Lodge Jumbo have to offer? And you talk about Boma and you talk about all the, you know, the Sunlight Safari and those shows, because it's something someone could take away and it could improve the quality of their vacation. Those are the shows that I look forward to.
Rick, what about you? What do you like doing the best?
Not interviews. Although,
not that memo.
Yeah. I like the games.
That's true. No, because you host them.
Rick, that was the wrong answer.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say the best shows I like is when I'm working with Sheila.
Well, that would be all of them, wouldn't it?
No.
That's a given, Sheila. That was a given from Rick. You didn't even need to say it.
Okay, but now wait a minute. Now, do you consider the shows you do with Michelle interview or no?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because the two of you are great.
No, it's meeting, talking to new people. I'm not a new person type of person.
Right.
But you see, Chris, for me, the interviews, I just, like Rick said, I love them.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're learning about someone else's story and... I don't know. It's a good feeling afterwards.
I agree with you. I love talking to people just about, it could be Disney related. It could not be. I'll look up and see the recording's gone for 48 minutes and I'll be like, oh my, you know, I didn't realize it even went that long. So sometimes some of the best shows we've had, we literally make 2 bullet points and say, start. And before you know it, it's gone off in 3 different tangents, but every one of them has been more beautiful than the last. And it's like, that was exactly what a podcast should be. It should make, in my mind, a podcast should get a person from A to B, because I like think the podcasts are all listened to in the car. And I realize sometimes they're in the office and whatnot when you're on your walk or your run. But a podcast should be like a self-contained episode that entertains you, makes you smile, it makes you think. And like I said, none of us, no one in the podcast industry, save like the top like 1%, do this for money. Sponsorships, the money is so low. It would shock you how little people, you know, I mean, just it's the reality. So we all do this just for the fun of it, because we're passionate about it. because we like to make connections with people. Mm-hmm. So at least that's why I do it. I know I could profess that, you know, my entire goal is I want to make people smile in the morning or on their way home from work. And if I can get you to laugh once or twice or make you smile once or twice, either before or coming home from work, like that's my job. I guarantee you that makes me happy.
I'm sure your podcast is no different than ours, Chris, in the sense of we've had guests and you don't realize how much you can touch a guest's life for letting them come on the show and share their story. There's been times I've had follow-up emails from some of our guests. You don't know what you did for me by allowing me to come on your show and share mm-hmm. my story. I mean, that always, you know, brings a lump to my throat that, you know, you, Chris, Steve, Rick, we have that power to share other people's stories. Mm-hmm.
Which also makes me want to mention, Chris, that, I just forgot his name. You interviewed him with the cookies.
Oh, with Fred.
Fred.
Yeah.
There's nothing like listening to that show that you guys did with him and mm-hmm. me working on a job and then having to turn around with tears rolling down my face.
Mm.
And you know what? Unashamed in front of a bunch of Mexican roofers.
You know what? And that's like the power of like radio. I genuinely say this without like trying to like pretend like fake modesty. Like, I don't think I have that power. I really don't. But I do know this, that I've received like the occasional direct message or like text from somebody saying, hey, wanted to reach out to you guys. Just and like, I never heard of that person before in my life. You know, you got a circle of friends that the show has brought to you. And we have a circle of friends. And that's just what it is. And these people have like not become like listeners. I'm embarrassed to say that like our listener group is a group of listeners. It really isn't. It's not. It's like it's a group of people that kind of found each other through the podcast at one time or another, but like now make up like everybody's like best friend in their life. And that's just how it is. You know, we've had some terrible things happen to people in our shows. Spouses pass away and like friendships and relationships end and people have gotten sick and injured. And like, when you realize, when you see a person post something on their personal page, and then you look at the comments, and of the 23 comments, like 21 are people that like came together, like in a Facebook group. And you think to yourself, wow, like that's real connection to people. Like I played like a 0.5% in like making that happen. And for that 0.5%, that like makes my day. Like it makes it makes your like your arm like the hair on your arms go up and say, if I could just do that, like that is it. You know, and that's what I want. So yeah, I've got no goals of being like the world's greatest podcaster. I'm not out to be the next Lou. I just want to be the next me and have fun. And then, you know, at some point, you know what? If it ever ceases to be fun, then we'll cross that bridge when it comes to it. But I'm not there just yet, you know.
So okay, let me ask another question. Let me put another question out for you guys. And that is, did you think for one moment, Chris, that you would still be here today podcasting? Did you think it would go as long as this?
Oh, gosh. Me and Pete gave it like 8 shows. We were like, it's hard. So this is what happens to a podcaster. You go on the air and you think, okay, we recorded an episode. Let's go see how many people downloaded it. Right. So you look at the numbers. Right. And after like the first show, we did like 17 downloads, like literally 17 downloads. And like my mom was listening and stuff. So like, we're like, okay, let's do number 2. And after number 2, you're up to like 34 episodes. You're like, what's up? You know, like all of a sudden we're like big time at like 34 episodes, downloads. So before you know it, you got to like 5 or 6 and you're like, got like maybe 100 downloads. And you're like, okay, that was a lot of effort. Are we sure we want to continue? You know, cause that's a lot of work. You know, I didn't know what this was really going to be like. And eventually you just decide, okay, do I give myself over to having fun and pursuing this? Or do I want to pay attention to the numbers? Because, you know, if you keep on looking at the number of downloads you have, that's tough. I mean, that tells you if you're hitting the mark as far as a podcaster, like you're reaching or like you continue to grow. But like, if you're completely glued in with those numbers of growth, like you've missed 90% of the fun of podcasting. You've missed the engagement with people, you know, and like the weird random texts and direct messages I'll get throughout the day. And I'll realize this person only came into my life because they thought that at least in that one episode, it was valuable to listen. So like you eventually just try to like separate the download numbers, and they're always going to be there, and you refer back once in a while. But yeah, in answering your question, no, we gave ourselves like 8 to 10 episodes, and we thought, well, that would just about be done. And you know, it's, you know, 300 and there's 50 other additional episodes, you know? So, I mean, there's a lot of content out there for people right now. And I still wonder why people listen to us, because I think we're terrible. But yeah, no, for some reason, people still tune in, and yeah. I'm thankful for it.
There's actually, it's like the benchmark is like 10 episodes. If you can go past 10, you're successful.
You know, I didn't know if there was an actual, there was a moment, there was a crystallizing moment, and I won't mention the podcast name. I remember sitting in my house with Peter, and we had just done like 4,000 episodes, 4,000 downloads total. That was our number. And I wouldn't say a competitor, because we're not really competitors. We're kind of all in the same pool together.
Sure.
I don't own any listener exclusively. Nobody does. No one listens to just Lou. No one listens to just the Dubs. But you have room in your presets for a number of shows. But a show that we would be considered, quote, competitors with, just broadcast, they had just completed their 10,000th download. And I remember telling Peter, like, how is it possible they got to that number? We're struggling to get to 4,000. like it completely made you like humble and realize you thought you were doing well. But then that's like the moment where it kicks in and was saying, but wait a minute. I just interacted with like 4 people today that listened to the show. And that should be the measure of success in my mind, not the numbers. And then we put the numbers to the side, you know, and, you know, like I say, you look back to them, and I just texted Rick this because, you know, Rick and I, you know, sometimes talk about stuff like metrics and stuff like that. We just passed that show. We just laughed him by 100,000 downloads. And it was all because we just buried our head, said, you know what, we're just going to give into it and have fun with it. So, you know, I'm proud to do that. But yeah, so that's where we're at.
Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, again, you said you don't want to be like Lou. Well, that's his job.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, really, that's his career.
And don't think for
I
a
don't
second.
Want it.
I was going to say, don't think for a second I haven't thought about it. But I'm not jealous of him. I'm proud of him.
Not. Yes.
I've met Lou a few times, and he's a good guy. To give into your life like that and say, I'm no longer going to be a practicing attorney. I'm going to move my family to Florida. I'm going to write books, be a motivational speaker, record walkthroughs of various lands. That takes cojones.
And hope I get paid.
Yeah, that takes guts in ways we'll never know. Yes. I'm not jealous of him. I would stand up and buy him his first beer. I would say that's a man who wanted it. Like that, he deserves all he gets. Remember, like success isn't created overnight in this industry. You've got to be committed. You know, Panda and the success he has, and Lou and Mike from Be Our Guest. I mean, how hard do these people work? They deserve everything they have. So I'm just honored that occasionally I get mentioned in the same sentence, or let's say this, in the same paragraph as the night, the same sentence. I'm happy that happens.
Well, so. We're happy that we're here together.
Exactly.
Seriously. You know?
Exactly.
I just think of all the people in my life now due to podcasting. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the other aspect of all of this. You know, if I wasn't podcasting, I would have never met Rick. God, I would never have met Rick. Think about it.
Maybe you're looking at that the wrong way.
I was going to say.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
Hang on.
You're talking about why podcasting is good.
No, Sheila, I'm looking at my phone contacts.
Odd husband.
I'm looking at my phone contacts. I keep a minimal amount of contacts in my phone. I have 93 contacts. 35 are employees. I've got about 15 family members. I've got a few local friends. The rest are all podcast contacts. Oh, yeah. And these are my friends. And these are people that have my cell phone. And like, isn't that like what the goal should be? And at least it is for me. So again, I'm a lucky and blessed man. I say that in so many ways, in my job, in my marriage, in my family, in the show, in my friends. I say it every day. I'm a lucky and I'm a blessed man.
And that's how I feel. You know, I mean, we joke about Rick and Bill.
Tell me that.
We talk about Rick and Bill being my, you know, podcast husbands. They really, when they stepped into the role of being a co-host for the program, it was magical.
Notice who was mentioned, not mentioned.
Not mentioned. I would pay attention.
I live with him every day. Come on, give me a break.
can I give a special shout out to Bill Mitchell even right now by saying, you know, as far as what Bill does on social media for your show and yet engaging in like in our group and helping with the committee, Bill Mitchell is like a relentless worker. I love that man. Rick Forbes is the same thing too. Rick Forbes is always posting stuff, you know, in our group and in your group.
Yeah.
These guys are like that's the thing. When your crew is filled with people that are, it doesn't even have to be like the greatest social media people, but like good people and like fun people, it makes life so easy. So like, I mean, you got yourself some aces in Bill and Rick for sure.
Oh, I mean, most definitely. And you know, I mean, seriously, Rick, you know, I've said it to you many a time, and it really does come from the heart. Mm-hmm. Rick and Bill are my boys. They really are. I mean,
thanks, Mom.
I know.
Yeah, we're not podcast husbands. We're podcast sons.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. There you go.
What do you think about that? Okay.
Sheila, Rick's so good that if we had an opening on the Dubs, he would at least be in the top, like, say, 70 or 80. I would probably call to take over that role.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Chris, and I hope it doesn't come out in the wrong way, but I'm so glad that Rick and Bill chose us because it was...
I've seen your show more than they're on ours.
Yes, that's true.
I've seen people appear on shows before, and the chemistry isn't there for a number of reasons, or what they bring value to the show. I've seen it before, and it's like, yeah, I kind of get why you're on as a guest, but I also kind of get why you'll be a short timer as a host, you know? And so, I mean, genuinely, you know, I love these guys. Rick knows I've been friends with Rick for a long, long time. Bill Mitchell less than Rick, but Bill's a good buddy of mine too. We text all the time too as well. So
yeah, Bill's a great guy. He's so funny.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some Disney, Sheila. You got some Disney in you?
Yeah, I do. Actually, let's start with you.
Okay.
And I would like to know, Chris, what cast member's job you would have?
So this is going to probably surprise people. When I first had this, everyone's done a show like this. I wanted to be the riverboat driver on the Sassagoula River, driving from Port Orleans French Quarter, Port Orleans Riverside, and Old Key West to Disney Springs. For some reason, that just appealed to me. I didn't want to be the boat driver on Bay Lake. I didn't want to be on Crescent Lake. I wanted to be on the Sassagoula River. That was my first goal. But I realized after being there in a brutally cold winter stretch, which they have in Florida, you know, that could be in the 40s. Those boys are out there on the river and it looked like a chilly job. So a couple other positions that seem really desirable to me. I wanted to be the guy that would drive the DVC van and bring you from like your resort to the DVC place. Because that guy, you know, here's why. It's a low pressure job and it's fun. You get to talk to people. You don't have to sell them anything. You're just preparing them for what's going to happen. And they're always in a good mood because they've agreed to go on the tour, right? Disney doesn't force you to go on that tour.
Right.
You're willing to go on the tour. So you're already in a good mood before you step into the truck.
Yep.
So it's just an enjoyable conversation with family members and friends you never knew you had for 20 minutes, and then you drop them off. So I always thought that would be kind of a charming and fun job to do right there. You know, working in a resort gift shop, I like the idea. My wife wants to work in the Wilderness Lodge gift shop. You know, when you put the costume on and, you know, the resort shops are, I know they have a lot of people going in and out, but it seems like if you can just stay productive and you work relatively independent, I like sorting things. I like arranging things. So that always appealed to me as well, too.
Wow. Very quickly to my own co-hosts. Let's just quick answer. Steve, what would you want?
What?
Cast member's role.
Oh, cast member? CEO?
Oh, CEO.
No. No, actually, no, I don't. I'd have to listen to my name compounded on different social medias. Actually, I think, I'm almost like, of course, number one.
This is a jungle, quick answer, by the way, Chris.
Jungle Cruise skipper.
Okay, Rick?
I would like to work at the concierge desk.
And I
just help people with their problems.
Oh, you'd be good at that. See, I've always wanted to be a plaid, so I've already shared my answer to our listeners. Yeah. So, yeah.
So, Rick, would you like, so sorry, please go to Universal.
Yeah. I mean, I've wanted to do that ever since we went in 2010, my first time as an adult. And I went to the concierge desk, and the guy was so friendly. He was there the whole week we were there, and he moved our reservations around and did this for us and did that for us. I was like, that is what I want to do. But yeah, got to move to Florida first.
Yeah. Okay. Chris, back to you. What's one thing on your bucket list for Disney?
I want to go and see Tokyo Disney Sea. I love to go across. We've been to Disneyland Paris, and we've been to California Adventure. We've been to Disneyland. But I love to go to Tokyo Disney Sea. We had a show with Jesus Crespo back. It might have been around show 100 or so. And the way he talked about it, it was so exciting, so interesting. Shanghai Disney is whatnot. I mean, they're not close by any means. But like, if you're there, you're making a special. You've already traveled 5,000 miles, you know. But Tokyo Disney Sea seems like the moment of Disney to me. So
yeah.
Okay, Steve.
Yeah, and actually, I loved your show on Disneyland Paris with you and the family and everything you guys did. It was a double episode, wasn't it?
It might have been. We went for a couple of days in a row. But yeah, no, I when I was there, it was a cold, winter experience.
Yes.
But now I look back upon those pictures, and I remember, and I think about how much fun it really was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually loved that. And of course, I've been to Shanghai, and like you, Tokyo Sea that's my last one I want to go to. I'm saving the best for last.
That a boy.
Yeah.
Okay, anything on your bucket list, Rick?
Dollywood.
I think we've lost Rick.
he might be sleeping.
No, I've been to Dollywood. I've been to Dollywood already.
Oh, good.
It's fun.
Actually, I've heard great things about Dollywood.
My want to be to visit the other parks, Disneyland and any of the international parks.
Okay, Chris, back to you. What's the one thing you would never do at Disney again?
The one thing I would never do at Disney again. That's a great question. I think I've regretted buying the Disney Vacation Club contract directly through them. And I think as I just got more educated through the process and I purchased resale on my second contract. Now, again, I've sold one of those contracts back, but you realize the perks that come with the, direct Disney Vacation Club contract. Mm-hmm. Boy, if you're from anywhere that's say north of Atlanta, Georgia, it's really hard to use those benefits unless you're committed to going 5-6 times a year. It doesn't make it worth the difference in terms of money. So I would have probably been a little more educated on the Disney Vacation Club process. At the time we bought, guys, they actually had a place called Doorway to Dreams. And it was a DVC location off-site of Walt Disney World. They had them in San Francisco. They had them in Chicago. And they had them in New York. And they might have had them in Tokyo. Really? So in one of our biggest malls in Chicagoland, they had a Disney Vacation Club store. And of course they had pin trading and they had a big Goofy statue and it kind of sucked you in. So we used to go there as just a cheap afternoon with the kids. We go out for dinner and trade pins. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to start a conversation with the Disney Vacation Club rep. And before you know it, they're really good at their job, so good at their job that, we ended up buying membership in the Disney Vacation Club. But yeah, I would have probably done a little more research to start and gone resale both times.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, did you want to add anything here, Rick?
What was the question?
Oh, I love you, Rick. What's a show without Rick saying, what was the question?
That'd be me, too.
Oh, my gosh. Is there anything, Rick, that you would never do again at Disney?
Keep your clothes on, Forbes. Make sure your answer is appropriate here.
Yeah. There are some things I would say, but I never say never. So I can't commit to saying I won't do something again.
I've been labeled with, you know, being drunk, standing on tables at Pop Century, whatever resort, and security coming. It's all lies.
So you can't even remember.
No, okay. It's all lies, but
it's a big blur. Okay.
It was All-Star Music.
As far as I remember, I was under the table, not on the table.
Well, I guess after you fell off the top.
So I'm taking the fifth on that one and moving on.
Well, you had a fifth.
Chris. What's your, when you think of Disney or you go to Disney, you're, you know, either from the resorts, in the parks, what's your favorite aroma that you smell as your number one sort of scent of Disney that you associate with?
Animal Kingdom Lodge, Jumbo House Lobby. Immediately. And I process things first through my sense of smell. Like, obviously you see things first and whatnot, but like, it's not the sounds and it's not like the spectacle of fireworks. It's like what hits me in my nose, in my olfactory sense.
Yeah.
So like I could tell you what Saratoga Springs lobby smells like. I could tell you what the rooms smell like. I could tell you what the bromine in the water of Pirates Caribbean smells like and bromine burning. But Jumbo House has the most distinctive smell. I can tell you what the green aloe and clover smells like of the Grand Floridian and the Beach Club and the Yacht Club. But it's that lobby at Jumbo House in Kidani. There's something. There's some cinnamon, tropical, but like, incense smell that is just magical. And it's unlike anything else on property. As soon as you walk in, you know it to be true. It's just there. So,
But isn't that what's great about Disney? It's not just, you know, seeing stuff with your eyes or, you know, going on the rides. It's all the other things. What's his name? Rick, what's your favorite aroma?
Flight of Passage.
Which part? Oh, sorry. I apologize. I've got the wrong ride. No, I haven't. I was thinking Soarin' for some reason.
Yeah,
I apologize.
Well, Sheila, I was just glad he didn't say sweaty Rick Forbes as if the smell of Rick Forbes, because that is not good. I'm just going to throw it out there. It's not good.
I am working on a candle.
Nice. Nice.
Gosh. Do me a favor. Sell it through the dubs, not monorail tails.
That's going to be our Patreon part.
Oh, gosh.
Nice.
Steve, very quickly, do you have anything?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I can't get past Patreon Rick Sweat.
I'm going to bottle some up in a couple of weeks when I go down.
Yeah, I'll pass on that, Rick, actually, because I like Rome is Burning, the scene of Rome burning in, yeah.
Sheila, even the smell of like the Tomorrowland Speedway, like no one wants to smell.
Yes!
No one wants to smell the car exhaust right from those little.
Yeah,
you smell it. And you're like, yeah, that's good. That's good.
Hey, exactly. You're not going to be able to smell that.
This is weird. There's an aroma. There's a smell that comes up from the Wedway People Mover from the like the straight. People mover elevator, like the the Goodyear tread that goes upwards towards the track, like that has a smell in the summertime when the sun's on it and it's warm and humid, and you associate that smell with Disney. I know it's weird, but it's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Rick, you have to put this out as a posting tomorrow. What is the best smell at Disney?
Okay. There you go.
No, both worst and best.
Oh, worst and best. Right.
Got it.
Oh, we answered all of that, didn't we? Mm-hmm. Okay, the very last one, because I really want to spend some time talking about this special event, Chris.
Okay.
So your very last question, guys, if you want to answer it, is one ride you miss and wish they would bring back.
So I'm going to be a incredible disappointment to you. Because I'm not one of the guys that pines for Horizons or pines for things that are long gone from my childhood. That's okay. They were replaced for a reason in my mind. But I've always had a soft spot in my heart for the Universe of Energy, which, like, no one has a soft spot for Universe of Energy. But when I was old enough to understand what Epcot should have been and what Epcot had become, like, the University of Energy still kind of stood out like what Epcot could have been as far as educating you on. And yeah, it was largely Ellen in the movie, but it was, I'll be honest, it's a terrible attraction. It was terrible, but I loved it. I loved that it was 43 minutes and I could see Ellen and I could hear Alex Trebek and I knew the lines, I knew all the lines, you know?
Yeah.
So, but that no one would ever say the universe, but it was just the look of the building and the look of the pre-show and the feeling of seeing
dinosaurs.
Exactly. Dinosaur soup is seeing the entire, essentially these theater style seats, these massive structures move along this metal wire. Yeah, that was fabulous. So I pine for that. Now, I'm a huge Marvel fan. So knowing the Guardians coaster is coming, I'm okay with it, but like, oh man, it had to take the place of like one of my favorite attractions of all time.
I loved Ellen's, but go back what you said at the beginning, Horizons, I never got to see it. So that's kind of one. I mean, and I know, what's his name? Has great videos.
Mm-hmm. Martins.
Martins, mm-hmm. Thank you. And I haven't even watched that yet, but I listen to it all the time. On, Sorcerer Radio has ride shows they do on a couple of their channels. And it's just like, oh my gosh, this is what it was? I know you have three different endings on it too. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the one I really wish I could have done.
Well, I kind of feel like we still have a version of that. Because at the time, between World of Motion and Horizons and Spaceship Earth, they were all very similar, you know? Yeah. So, you know, in its design, obviously the vehicle was different, but like in terms of seeing vignettes from scene to scene, kind of explaining the history of things. So, you know, we still in fact have Spaceship Earth. So
yeah,
So in many ways, I kind of feel like we still have its distant cousin, you know, but yeah, no, I know that is like the holy grail of attractions to bring back, but I've never felt passionate about that. Like I said, a lot of these attractions disappear for logistical reasons, and sure, a lot of them are because they simply just don't draw at this point. Mm-hmm. And people love looking back, or they cost too much, or they break down a lot, and people look back at their childhood, and when someone takes something away from their childhood, it's like a mortal sin. Like, how could you do that? it's so beloved. Well, it really wasn't that beloved, you know? So right. But yeah,
I just want to say amen to that. Nothing wears me out more than people being upset about the past like that.
Well, look at, you know, so I joke here now. I mean, look at the, you know, the Maelstrom. So one of my co-hosts, Peter, you know, he jokes around about the Frozen attraction, but in all seriousness, how long was ever really the wait for Maelstrom? I mean, it could have got to an hour or so, right? Maelstrom, but are you ever taking your six-year-old to Walt Disney World? Because they're like, Mom, Dad, we've got to go on Maelstrom. Like, no, that doesn't exist. And then the Frozen attraction, it was largely the very same layout, but the retheming of it was amazing. I mean, the ride is fantastic. So if you could separate the fact that you are prejudiced to the Frozen attraction and Frozen as a movie, it's a great attraction. And yeah, families came to Walt Disney World and spent gobloads of money and, you know, unknown thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars because Frozen was there to anchor it. So, you know, you could sit and pine for it. Now, I know I just said the universe of energy, but I'm not pining for it. I still have a couple of shirts from the universe of energy, but I embrace the change in a lot of these attractions. I embrace it. Yeah. Most of them have been hits. Most of them have been major successes. There have been a few which made me furrow my brow and said, that would need some additional retheming. But for the most part, they're all hits.
Yeah.
Now we've come to the special part of the evening where I do understand that you have borrowed Rick to be part of this special event. So
And Bill.
And Bill, yeah. Exactly right.
Can't forget our Bill.
Who knows who else we're going to lose.
So I'm going to pass it over to you, Chris, to share what's going on. And Rick, please just step in and just join Chris in sharing this information so our listeners can hear what's going on.
I would like to say I'd be brief here, but I'm probably not. And if you've ever listened to a show, you know, I tend, and we've already been on the air for quite a while. So I appreciate you sticking with me up to this point. So here was our idea. We have a good friend in our community named Jeremy Murray. And many years ago, Jeremy's brother, Dave, passed away from cancer. And it was a particularly brutal battle of cancer. And Jeremy and I have been friends for a few years. We don't have a immensely long relationship as friends. But the time that Jeremy and I have been friends, we become really good friends. And his wife, Krista, I'm really good friends with her. And he's got an adorable daughter named Everly. So Jeremy and I were talking, and Jeremy has a charity in Vermont. He lives in St. Albans, Vermont, and he's got a charity called Dave's Ice Cream Social. And I couldn't quite put my finger on what that was until he explained it further. So essentially in Vermont, like every state and every country in the world, people battle cancer. And all he was trying to do was give back because he was there to witness his brother's battle with cancer. And what Dave's Ice Cream Social was literally, it was a giant ice cream gathering for the town. And he would sell tickets. And on one particular day in the middle of June, and if Jeremy's listening, I hope I'm telling the story right, he would literally scoop ice cream sundaes for people. And if it was $5 a sundae and whatever he was raising, he would donate to this Franklin County Area Cancer Network. It's FCACN. And this grew in popularity in addition to things like a t-shirt and sing-along and whatever Jeremy would do as a relentless fundraiser for this charity to raise funds for people going through cancer. Well, long story short, I made it part of my bucket list, my non-Disney bucket list, that I want to go and visit Jeremy in Vermont, and I want to be there for a Dave's Ice Cream Social with my family because we communicate all the time. We send gifts back and forth. And you know what? Though I've never met the man, I'll meet him this July. I love the guy like a brother. I genuinely do. I'd give him the biggest hug, and he's way bigger than me, so he's going to give me a tighter hug back. I guarantee it. So we decided this year, we were like, okay, before all the craziness of COVID hit, we'd like to start planning a trip to Vermont. Well, then COVID hit, and they still have their fundraising efforts. So Jeremy does this sing-a-thon where he sings these songs for people for donation and this t-shirt, and we did like a Christmas show. But his headline event where he raises the most funds is this Dave's Ice Cream Social. Well, of course, what's on the chopping block right now? It's the gathering sizes, right? It's the amount of people you can put together to raise funds. So who was going to show up? Was Vermont going to let you meet that? Was Vermont going to let you gather 200, 300 people? The answer was no. So he was going to go without the headline event. So I got this idea. And I brainstormed it around, and we got a committee together, and Rick and Bill are on the committee, Cassandra Callahan, Cindy Ellicott, and Carly Positano, and along with Jeff, who is helping as well, too. We had the idea, we're going to do a live show for like 6 hours, 6.5 hours, and we're going to have a fundraiser auction. And whatever funds we raise, we're going to go and fill the gap that was created by COVID for Dave's Ice Cream Social. And we're going to donate the money to the Franklin County Area Cancer Network. So we had this idea. We knew less about fundraising, about charity auctions, than we knew about podcasting. We literally went in blind with everything. So we were trying to create stuff from the start. We knew the Be Our Guest podcast had done a charity auction, but we felt like the best way for us to get this knowledge is if we kind of learned it ourselves. And it was the hard way. I guarantee it was the hard way. So you got to figure out like logistical issues, guys. Like, okay, so we've got this charity site that we're using through charity auctions today. Great. Let's say we made $100. How does that $100 get to FCACN? Okay, well, send the money to me, right? As Chris Malik, and then I'll send it to FCACN. And then I thought, wait a minute. Am I paying tax on that money?
Yeah.
So am I going to be taxed? Yeah. And what if it's not $100? What if it's $1,000? What if it's $5,000? What if it's $10,000? And now am I taking 30% of that money and paying tax on it? And like, the more you think about it, like the more reasons you are to like not hold this fundraiser. So I talked to Jeremy and I talked to the woman in charge of Franklin County Area Cancer Network. Her name is Sherry White. And she was a sweetheart. And I said, Sherry, this is going to be an incredibly vulnerable situation for you. But this is what I need. I need the money to pass directly from the charity auction to you guys as a tax-exempt agency, as a charity, as a 403B. And I don't want to see one nickel of that money because I don't want to be on the hook for the IRS saying, hey, great job, Chris. We're really proud of you. You owe me $3,700. Right. You know, I don't want to see one nickel of that money. So, Sherry, on one Saturday morning, can you and I meet and go through all your financials, including your social security number and all your bank routing number? And I'll set all this information up remotely. And by the way, you've never met me and I just want to help, you know? So like all these things kind of happen behind the scenes to create this thing. So we started our, like our pledge drive in air quotes for getting donations. And Carly Positano has been like an absolute godsend. And I don't know what I would have done without her. Actually, everyone between Rick and Bill helping get prizes and Cindy helping recruit stuff. Cindy Elcott lives in Canada, and the stuff she sent has been amazing. And Cassandra Callahan helping with this calendar that you guys will hear about in a little bit, which is a really questionable idea. But everyone is working so hard. We've got now almost 100 items donated and listed on our website for this auction. But we didn't know if we had it right. So we wanted to put an auction out, a mini auction, where we auctioned off 3 items to see if it would work. Well, we just threw like some sunglasses and some Dub swag and like a bag. And it was a used bag. It was a used purse. It was a Vera Bradley, but it was still a used purse. Well, we generated $288 on 3 items just as a test to see if it would work. And we realized if that's what 3 items brought in, what could we do for Franklin County? What can we do for Dave's Ice Cream Social? So all of a sudden we're thinking, we're going to do great. This is going to be wonderful. And then as you get closer, you realize, well, wait a minute. I need to fill 6.5 hours of airtime. Like I've never done a show for 6.5 hours. So now we're booking segments. We're contacting, you know, Chris Smith is a Disney historian, and Rick Forbes, Sheila, God love you. You said Rick likes hosting games. Rick's going to be doing a Family Feud for us on that day. So that's going to be part. So we're trying to book segments for this live show, and it's all going to happen on June the 5th. We're going to have 6.5 hours of fun entertainment. We're going to have, I bet you we'll have over 100 items for people to bid on. And these are small things. These are things like Haunted Mansion sunglasses, but we've got some headliners too. Like I've donated personally a weekend at the Wilderness Lodge in a studio that's going to be auctioned off. So it's in the middle of September. And our good friend, Scott Ferrioli, who owns Buy and Sell DVC and DVC Dash Rental. Scott is one of my closest friends. Scott said, I can beat that. I'm going to donate a 5-night stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge Jumbo, and that's at the end of August. So I mean, all we're trying to do, we have no other goals, is Jeremy has a need. He can't do it this year for his Dave's Ice Cream Social. We just want to fill that need. We don't care if we make $289 on everything, but all we're trying to do is we realize, like we talked about earlier, we have the power to go and help like people and like change people's lives in just the smallest fashion. And after 2020 being the garbage fest that it was, we're resigned that we're going to do something. We're going to punch 2021 in the mouth. So that's what we're doing. We're just going to put on this live show. We promise we're going to entertain people. We're going to make people laugh and smile. And there's some really cool stuff. Like, I pulled up the auction site. If you guys don't mind, can I read off a few of the things we got?
Oh, please do.
Yes.
All right. So hang on. So I'm going to go right to the auction site. Give me a second. I'm on the computer right now. I'm on the administrator site. We've got some Dragonfly, some Loungefly backpacks. We've got two of those. Like I said, we have that Vera Bradley purse. We've got Haunted Mansion sunglasses. We've got the donation for Wilderness Lodge. We've got the donation to Jumbo House. And then I could literally start reading off the list. Hang on. I'm going to go and pull up the page. It's loading slowly. I wasn't prepared for this. Hang on 1 second.
No, that's okay. You're doing good. Don't worry.
All items. Here we go. I'll read off just the top, like 20. Got a Mickey Mouse.
Hang on. How many did you say you had? Let's see how fast you can do it.
Okay. Mickey Mouse cookie jar, Mickey Mouse bobblehead, the Disney food blog guide, beach towel kit, Monsters Inc. lunch tote. These are items that can go for $5, $10, $20. So, like, it's not all a couple hundred dollars. A Disney Parks cake stand by Jared Maruyama, a Marvel Scentsy warmer. Chris Futrell donated a Star Wars Galaxy Edge Rancor Tooth flight set because you have to buy like the flight of like liquor and it comes in like Rancor teeth. So he donated that whole set to us. We got Pop Funkos. Tim Van Swole donated a bunch of Pop Funkos. Cindy Ellicott got one of her friends to donate a Pampered Chef. I believe it's Pampered Chef. A $300 gift certificate to Pampered Chef, which is good enough for like an air fryer. So we're combining that with like a Disney kitchen set. So that's going to be our third headline attraction. We've got Harry Potter Funkos. We've got puzzles. We've got Star Wars, Disney Infinity Star Wars starter pack. We got Legos. Portillo's donated to us. I literally have almost 100 things here. So it will have more dub stuff. So if you're interested in picking up some stuff, we're going to be on charity auctions today, but it's called the Dubs Community Auction. But our live show is on June the 5th, and we're sharing information on the Dubs page in our listener group. And I'll send it to Rick if Rick wants to share it with you guys on your page. No commitment. Look, and if there's something that you're interested in, feel free. I mean, we'd love to have it. Not 1 cent goes to anything other than Franklin County Area Cancer Network. And it's done on behalf of Jeremy Murray, on behalf of Jeremy's brother, Dave, who lost his battle with cancer, and on Dave's Ice Cream Social. And why? Because we wanted to, and we wanted to do something good. And that's our only reason.
This is amazing. I do have a quick few questions. Mm-hmm. Are you still accepting donations?
Yeah, absolutely. Carly has been there. God love this woman. So listen to this, Sheila. She took hold of, I'm going to be the person to collect all the donations. So everything is mailed to Carly's house. And then she literally lists every one of these items on the auction site. It's going to go live about a week before the live show. Because it starts actually on Monday, May 31st at noon, and then it goes till 6 o'clock on Saturday, June the 5th, the site. She literally took pictures and write-ups for every item and uploaded it, which I couldn't possibly do. So I thank God that Carly and I are friends and that Jeff is so helpful and Jeff has been so patient letting Carly do this craziness. But yeah, everything's mailed to Carly's house. And she has been the recipient of everything. So if you want that, I won't say it over the air, but if you're interested, heck, Rick will have the information. Rick is part of the committee. Rick and Bill Mitchell are part of the committee. Again, Cassandra, Cindy, Carly, and I am the luckiest guy possible. I didn't ask Peter, Stacy, or Michael to join because, honestly, you guys know, doing the show is tough. It's relentless. Now, when you got your hands in this pot and in this pot and in this pot, it becomes hard. And I completely volunteered and said, I am doing this. But like afterwards, I'm going to need a little breather. I realize that. Yeah. But for right now, honestly, if I get one extra hug from Jeremy, like that is the job I'm looking for. That's it.
Okay. The event is, I'm sorry, I am going to quickly go through these questions. The event is June the 5th.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what time would that start in the daytime?
So it's going to start around noon. The exact start time is going to vary. We're hoping to end the auction and still be on the air because we're going to set it up where the Pampered Chef is going to end in the first 2 hours. The Wilderness Lodge is going to end after 4 hours and okay. The headliner is going to end after 6 hours. And we want to be on the air to announce the winners of those. And again, we have a site through Charity Auctions Today, but we'll put the link out there. You simply need to register and it's going to require you to say, hey, my name is Sheila Sanders and I live at X address. And it may actually even ask you for a credit card, but everything is done through their site. And they're one of the biggest charity auction sites in the country with a secured server. Like I said, we don't see anybody's credit card information. We don't see a cent of it. We don't want to see any of that. I don't want none of that responsibility. All I want to do is raise funds. That's all I'm looking for.
Okay, so the process, if I start bidding on something, Steve, you got to work that day. Okay. You can't be around me.
Just
if
leave
I
the credit card.
You just
leave the credit card.
Buy what we donated.
Yeah, just leave the credit cards.
If I wanted to bid on something, then the process, how you see it at this moment, is going to be quite simplified. Yes, it's going to be a simple.
Yes, and you process. Can get notifications too if you're outbid on things. So oh, if you,
what if you outbid yourself?
So Rick's telling this story that I can't get into today, but it's a little embarrassing. But yeah, no, you can actually, you won't be able to outbid yourself. I don't believe, though I've done it before. So it's been me. But you know what? When it comes to charity and it comes to things like that, you know, I'm incredibly cheap, Steve, in some ways in my life. But all of a sudden, when it comes to things like this, I'm like Daddy Warbucks. I'm like Jeff Bezos. I got limitless pockets, you know. So it's good I'm helping organize this because this would cost me thousands of dollars.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Chris, when you've been talking about this, I see the big smile on your face and the good feeling it must be giving you.
You know what?
I can hear it in your voice.
It is because, like I said, we've all had a terrible year. And yeah. And you know what? We've got a platform that we could stand up and say, that's BS. I'm not part of that anymore. I'm going to do something that's going to affect people in the right way. So yeah. Mobilizing a committee, it wasn't hard. And I didn't lie to you, Rick. I mean, I said it's going to be ugly. And there's going to be a lot of things that are going to make us not want to do this. But let's do this. Let's get this done. And I found like 5 additional people that's going to like say, we're doing it. So we didn't know anything, you know, now
I can think of one thing that makes me not want to do it.
Tell me, Rick,
the calendar.
Oh, okay. Sheila, Steve, have you guys heard about this?
No. Rick doesn't talk to me usually.
okay, well let me tell you how Rick influenced this auction, and this might be a good way to end this show. So, we had an idea that Rick had an idea, and I'm going to put it on him. And then once you tell me your terrible idea, you've told me your terrible idea, and I'm going to take it and I'm going to run all the way to the end zone, like every time, because I got like no mental filter, right? You give me a terrible idea, it becomes mine. So Rick said, hey, how about a calendar where we feature like the dads of EDCOT, which is our listener group? And I was like, you mean like bare-chested, like
I'm thinking fireman look.
Right? Like a fireman calendar? Like, and so Rick was like, oh no, this is like a terrible idea. But it was out. It was out of the barn door, right? So it was in my hands at this point. So
not literally. It wasn't out of the barn door.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I'd buy it.
So I have, you know, we were talking about this Patreon group. So, you know, I've got however many men are in the group and wives. I said, hey, this is an idea. Tell me if it's stupid. Yeah, it's probably questionable. Tell me if you're willing to help me with this idea. And it took a little bit of convincing for a few guys, but almost immediately I had guys jump on it and say, I'm in. We're not doing anything crazy. There's nothing in the calendar that's going to be like no marriages, I promise, are going to be broken up because of, you're going to see a lot of these dad bods. But now when you see Will Smith and Anthony Anderson and all these guys saying, look, I'm not in great shape. You know what? All we were was just trying to have fun. Everything is literally like tongue in cheek, and everything is designed to kind of poke fun at ourselves. But we've got a 16-month calendar, and some dads do 2 months. Like I've got 2 months. Rick's got a month. Bill Mitchell's got a month. All right. And these guys literally put themselves out there and said, you know what? It became almost like a competition, a one-upsman competition of who can do the more wilder, like type thing. And the guys, we created this small Facebook group, which none of us will ever share with the public. It's this 12-person Facebook group. And it would, like, if someone accidentally walked into that group and saw the pictures, they'd be like, what in the world? What is this? But, like, Rick would verify. We got crazy with it, and we said, we're going to go and have fun with this calendar. But we also had to limit it to, like, there's going to be, like, a stipulation. There's going to be 5 calendars sold. We don't want the pictures on social media. Remember, this is all just for fun. We don't want it. And you know what? We're going to protect each other. We realize we're between 35 to 45-year-old guys. We're dads. Our days of being athletes in high school and being in the peak possible condition, that's long gone. But you know what we can do? We can go and have fun with this and be our genuine self and get a little crazy. And there's skin to be seen in this calendar. We can have fun and we can help.
Scared.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Put me down for a calendar. Because...
Well, you got to buy it. It's on auction, Sheila. You got to buy it in the auction. So I can't just.
Hey,
I can't
I'll be
give
there.
One.
Yep. I'll be bidding because you know what? I want to see Jamie Price's month.
JJP has got a picture in there. So exactly. But you know what? Here's why the guys did that. Because we love Jeremy.
Rick.
we love Jeremy. And we want to do what we can to help. And in this goofy, like, this is exactly what like our friend group would do. Like, all the dads would be like, that's it. Like, you could just picture like them like ripping their shirt off and like, I'm in, you know? So that's what we did. So we got this goofy calendar idea, and it was all thanks to Rick Forbes. And so he can try and not claim ownership of it, but yeah, it was him.
Oh my gosh, Chris, it sounds amazing.
It is amazing. I'm still, now that you done your last comment was with Rick Forbes on it, I don't know if I want that.
No, I would delete that month, you know, rip it out. Hey, listen, I think it's great that, you know, Bill and Rick are with you on this endeavor, this journey. What can we do at Monorail Tales? Well, you know, please use our group as your group for the next few weeks. Yeah. Anytime you want to post anything, you don't need special permission or anything like that. Just do it, Chris. Okay.
Well, you know what? I appreciate that. And actually, Rick and I got into a conversation about sharing shows and stuff like that. And you know, I realize we share a ton of listeners and we're all friends here. So, you know, and honestly, between podcasts, we don't need rivalries. We don't have competition. There's room in the pool for everybody. And we just want to help each other. So I was telling Rick, if you got a Monorail Tales episode you want to share, you know, just do it. Your listeners are our listeners, are the next show's listeners. If you've got something you want to share, please do it. Don't even worry about it. So, yeah, we're all in it together. So, and if we've said, oh no, we wouldn't do that, or we're protective, you're just fooling yourself, you know? So we want to help. So that's how we feel.
Well, just remember, if you're in the pool with me and it's warm, you might.
That's why.
I'll move away.
I'm going to get to the different side. Exactly.
I think on that note, Chris, I am going to need some links from you at this moment. They will be posted along with the show notes. So let's, first of all, where can we find the Dubs and Edcott?
Well, the WW Review Facebook page, we have an Instagram page, we have Twitter. We don't engage with a lot with Twitter. Twitter has been, Twitter's a big old flaming garbage can some days. So we just try to avoid Twitter. Our group of friends and people who listen to the show occasionally is called Edcott, EDCOT. And intentionally, it's closed, it's private, because we never intended it on being 5,000, 15, or 50,000. we wanted to be a community of people who genuinely cared about each other. So yeah. you have to answer two questions. They're extremely hard. I think one of them is like, are you a robot? And like the other one might be, you know, tell me something that you like about Disney. But we just wanted to make sure that you were a Disney fan. You have to seek us out. We don't advertise for it, but everyone is welcome. And you're going to see some crazy things. What you won't see is you won't see drama. You won't see BS. You won't see politics. What you will see is a group that's completely supportive, and it will police itself. If someone says something foolish, intentionally malicious, like, we don't tolerate that stuff. Everybody is welcome, guaranteed. Yeah. So you're welcome to find us there. That's probably the easiest spot. Rick's there. You guys are there. Mm-hmm. Bill's there. So please join us there. It's fun.
That's how I keep track of them. Yeah.
Yes.
Their latest movements. There you go.
We keep trackers on our boys.
They don't come on ours, but yeah.
Okay, let's see what they do today. Actually, you know what, Chris? My biggest issue that I have these days, I just don't have time for Facebook.
I just want to do memes.
Sheila, it's a rabbit hole. Once you get on the Facebook for any one moment, before you know it, you're on three posts, then you're on six posts, then you look. It's a rabbit hole, that's for sure.
Okay, so the special event links, they are going to be posted over the next week, few weeks as they come along. Any special messages about the special event will also be posted on our group, as well as the links that Chris has shared with us. I encourage our listeners to support this.
Extremely.
Here's the best way you could support us as well, too. Even if you don't want to spend a nickel, that's okay. Right. And even if you don't want to necessarily, like if you tune in for 40 minutes or 30 minutes or 20 minutes, that's okay, too. All I would ask is if you watched, just hit share once. Just hit the share button once, even to your friends. And they're like, what are you sharing? You never know who may look and say, you know what? I used to have that cookie jar and want to buy it. And again, none of this money goes to Steve, Sheila, the Monorail Tales, the Dubs. None of that money goes to us. It all goes to people that are currently, it's a grant to people that are currently battling cancer. So it could, and I'm not going to stand in a mountain and say it's for paying your medical bills. It might not be. But if you've ever been in a battle with cancer, you realize what a new pair of shoes, how good that makes you feel, or that nice dinner with your family. Frankly, you know, Jeremy said it best one day. He goes, I hope that money never goes to pay the bills. I hope it goes to go and lift that person's spirits and make that person smile for one day. Wow. And honestly, that's the truth. I've seen my father pass away from pancreatic cancer in a brutal battle in 2017. Whatever my dad wanted, he was going to get in his last few months. I didn't care if it was a sweet roll or a cup of coffee or a cup of chai tea, whatever made him smile. And not everybody has that prognosis. But you should be entitled to something that makes you smile and makes you happy when you're battling this devil. So that's what we're trying to do.
Wow.
Great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great words, Chris. Ah, wow.
We are proud to be a part of this.
Yes, we are. And as I said, you know, anything that Monorail Tales can do, we're here for you guys. And on that note, you know, Chris, thank you so much for giving up your time to spend with us. It's been a fun evening. And for our listeners, I've been thinking about this for the last 30 minutes, but if you're really interested in the aroma of Rick's Disney sweat candle,
nice.
Just email me at Sheila@monorailtales.com and we'll see what we can do for you.
Take all that out.
Until our next show, listeners, thanks for tuning in. We love you. And we'll talk soon. And everyone take care.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Switch on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world because it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes because your future's ready to shine. Take it slow, but before I go and hit the
and thank you.